It's 10 o'clock a mountain time. It's Tuesday. It's time for Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. Happy to have you along with us. Thanks very much for joining us. And well, today we've got to talk a little bit about global warming and the obvious answer. Can solar panels save the planet, Shane? Can solar panels save us from certain death of climate change?
No.
Okay, good. I like those short, succinct answers.
What's worse, it's an environmental disaster, not waiting to happen, happening, and the waste of money and commodities, you know, the metals to produce it, a waste. The amount of mining required to produce it, a waste. The contribution to your grid and your country, a waste. We'll go through all of it, the numbers and everything, to explain that to those listening, because you need to know you're being lied to again.
Yeah, why not? Well, it's a 16.9 billion industry in 2022. They're predicting anyway, Shane. Which is pretty good size. The top companies or top countries, I should say, China, United States, Japan, Germany, India, Italy, Australia, South Korea, just a few. China being the big one, but all of the others, Japan, Germany, India, Italy, Australia, South Korea, are trading partners with the United States. So a lot of people think that we're tied to China for all this, and we're not. We've got other options, plus we make them ourselves. But no question that China certainly makes a lot of them. Solar panels, they'll account for 60% of global renewable growth. Now that doesn't mean that 60% of the planet has solar. What that means is if you had 10 solar panels and it grew 60%, you'd have 16. So, you know, and the, global, energy from, solar is about 1% of the energy produced in the planet. So, if you want to replace all of them, you'd need one on every available rooftop in order to replace electricity that we have now. And again, as Shane mentioned, more than 90% of the solar panels are built in Asia in coal-heavy electric grids. So you got that going for you as well. So.
Well, yeah, that's right. We always like to be certain of what we're talking about because numbers don't lie. So, you know, the United States, amazingly, first built solar panel arrays, they're called, that's large numbers, across the floor of the Mojave Desert in 1982. So this is now, you know, 40 years that they've been, you know, building solar panels. So where are we at with that? Well, you know, there's 92.7, almost 93 million panels around the world right now. That's an incredible number. The problem is the lifespan of a solar panel is 25 degrees. Use of 25 years. Use of deserts like the Mojave or the Sahara, which I'll mention in a minute, has a couple of drawbacks. One is the sandstorms, particularly in the Sahara, can be damaging to the surface. But more importantly, they can overheat. And we always talk about the fact that, you know, solar panels charge batteries. They don't directly are not directly tied into any network or grid because they on themselves do not produce a lot of electricity. But what they do is they charge batteries, which then, in fact, can be added to the grid. So as a renewable, is it viable? No. What's the point? Well, politics. So after 25 years, you know, you know, and an average cost of, I mean, they're not cheap, anywhere from, you know, $3,500 to $35,000 a panel. Mm-hmm. And we're basically now nearing a major tipping point with it, because we're at $9.7 trillion that's been spent or more to do this. So with a 25-year lifespan, we're in the middle of it right now, and we're seeing, you know, the horrific results of it.
Yeah. Comment from one of our viewers, true on lifespan and the batteries. And that's true, Shane, when I mentioned earlier that if every available rooftop was equipped with solar panels, well, in Canada, where you live, northern Canada and Alaska, 6 months of darkness, you're going to have batteries to store that energy during the summer. So until that comes along, you know, these are not going to be, you know, they're not going to be the end all of energy that people think they are.
Exactly. Nothing on your grid has cost as much over the length of time as solar panels, and produces the least amount and is the least effective, and is the least, renewable, and is the least beneficial to, Greens' position of global warming. Scientists, have done studies, and Forbes reported in August of 2021 that if 1% or 1.2% of the Sahara Desert, so we're talking about an area 335,000 kilometers, mm-hmm. they claim would be enough to power the world. Well, it might be enough to, you know, power batteries, but then how do you get that from?
Yeah, how do you get it from here to there?
There to the rest of the world. I mean,
yeah,
you know, with the grid you have right now, mm-hmm. the transmission of it. 50% of what you produce is lost in the transmission. So it's, mm-hmm. And of course we've had this conversation about alternating current, direct current, and the arguments there. So all these things come to bear when you talk about this, and it's something fun to talk about because it's been a remarkable science. They tried to create in the same period of time a result of employment and wealth as the, you know, the personal computer, but not even close. I mean, mm-hmm. personal computer started in the 80s too. And we know what happened there. I mean, it created 35 million jobs in the U.S. alone and, a multi-trillion dollar market. So mm-hmm. This is principally been financed by governments through taxpayer money that they've spent. And in my observation, waste of money, a total mm-hmm. waste of money.
Yeah. From our viewers, concentrated solar systems have gone unnoticed and last so much longer. And Pamela weighs in, disposal issues for sure. Absolutely right, Pamela, because if we went with the Paris Peace Accords to 2050, what they would like, the tonnage would double global plastic waste that's already clogging the oceans and every place in the world, I guess. Plastic is on our beaches, it's in our rivers, it's in our causeways, it's on our streets, it's everywhere.
Well, that's right. I mean, by 2050, even the International Renewable Energy Agency, it's mm-hmm. a global agency that reviews this with the UN and, you know, governments of yeah. the world, uh-huh. They say there'll be, 78 million metric tons of solar panels uh-huh. Will have reached the end of their life by 2050, so
yeah.
There you go, right off the bat. And generating about then, or now 6 million metric tons of solar waste of panels annually. You don't rebuild them, you have to recycle them, and that in itself has resulted in horrific environmental problems. The only country doing it really on a scale is China, of course. Right. People, there's about 60,000 to 65,000 people, you know, in one province of China alone, where people are basically being paid $1.50, $1.60 a day. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, with between 60,000 and 100,000 people working in horrific outdoor in creeks, breaking up the right. solar panels to recover minute amounts of minerals. Mm-hmm. The middle class, though, even in China, 400 million people are taking to using their backyard as a secondary sort of income to break down and recycle these solar panels, because they're just they're piling up. It's like the ships, they just push them ashore in the south of India, in a day they take a tanker apart, to recycle it, right?
Yeah, right. So, well, also to make it up pure silicon requires hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, nitric acid, hydrogen, fluoride, trilauroethylene, and acetone, not to mention other things. And plus the silicon dust is a hazard to workers while they're building this stuff.
Terribly. So, it's a carcinogen.
It's not good. No.
And, silica was one of the dream ideas about it, because it's the most abundant mineral on the planet, and next to aluminum. And we know the benefits that we see from aluminum, but we also know the cost, of electricity to produce aluminum. So, there's actually a better result from, wind-generated power. It's direct, and right now it's doing better at about 9.5% of your power grid. But the global wonder of wind is twofold. No one wants it in their backyard because it's noisy, and of course it needs wind, which are mostly the gateway to birds, and because the birds follow the airstreams that windmills stand in for migration. People say, oh, you don't see a lot of dead birds. Yes, you do. And not as many as feral cats kill 100 million birds a year in North America.
Yeah,
but we're still talking serious numbers.
Yeah. Well, building one wind turbine, you need 900 tons of steel, 2,500 tons of concrete, 45 tons of non-recyclable plastic. Solar power requires even more cement, steel, and glass, not to mention other metals. So there's a lot to putting this stuff up currently, Shane. So I know everybody wants this. We all want it. We all want a clean planet. We don't want coal burning. We don't want all this pollution, all this other crap. But this stuff is it's in its infancy at the moment.
Yes, there's no question. I mean, right now, and look at the comparison. I mean, as I just said, 9.3% just on your grid from windmills. And there's 341,000 globally. It's just scary.
Yeah.
There's 341,000 windmills compared to 97 billion is just, it's a number that the gap is so overwhelming that you just don't really want to look at it. Right?
John says hydrogen as a stored fuel is my top two, as long as it's not used in a fuel cell. So,
I ask all of the people watching this, and hopefully get this out. Star Technologies of Australia, go look at their Hero HERO hydrogen electrical energy generator. Global governments, global industry are all blocking it. They're claiming it's too dangerous because it's hydrogen and it has to follow all the guidelines of nuclear use of hydrogen, and it's just a ridiculous situation. They've had the technology for 30 years. It's working everywhere they go. People like it. They're trying to get it out there. They have contracts. They're trying to build it, but they won't open the door to it because it's the answer, literally the answer. Mm-hmm. And so there are answers out there that are being prevented, and mm-hmm. we've just given you one. I mean, I'm not particularly happy about windmills. I've seen them. I've seen them in California and even in northern Montana, in Washington State and Oregon. They're not a pretty sight, but mm-hmm. They're far more efficient and far less expensive. But they, the governments won't pursue them. And it's just a political policy that's not mm-hmm. being pursued in a proper way. What's the benefit to, factor to danger factor ratio? Well, we pointed out today already mm-hmm. with solar panels, when you compare the pros and cons on a list, they shouldn't be built. They just shouldn't be built.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned birds and windmills. Birds are an issue with solar panels, too. The heat that That's comes right. off of them kills birds. So birds flying over solar arrays can be baked literally right in the sky. So depending on how low they are or what the sun situation is at the moment, but they produce a lot of... the other thing with solar, they got to take up so much room. You got to have acres and acres of them, Shane. That's and correct. You've got to displace whatever animals lived in those acres or whatever food was grown in those acres. So, as I've said many times, when they get a solar panel that will produce the same electricity when it's the size of a dime instead of a Buick, then they may have something. But until then, until the battery situation becomes more storage, is more reliable. I think we're treading water. It's what we're doing.
Well, right now wind produces, as I said, close to 10% of the electricity in the U.S., but over 10% in 16 states, 30% in Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, South Dakota, North Dakota. These are Republican states. They're not even blue states, and they're making better use of it. It's one of these issues that becomes instead of a policy issue of common sense, it becomes a political issue. Uh-huh. And of course, the amazing thing is that China's involvement in all this. And, I mentioned this for the last several months, that the U.S. is in a recession. And there's no question in my mind that China's now fallen off the abyss. It's in a depression. China's in an official depression. They have over 100 million people locked up. They're doing it intentionally. There's already been one attempted coup. I mean, this is mm-hmm. what's happening. The people need to look at this and realize that with China collapsing, 400 million middle-class Chinese who are now going to find themselves in, instead of in a middle-class developing world, falling backwards. Nobody likes that. The other problem is that all of our services that are supposed to warn us about this, from in every country, from the CIA to the UN, they all see it from satellites. I mean, the Chinese are literally tearing down cities they built over the last 40 years. They built 20 from the ground up to hold 10 million in each of them. We've talked about 89 million condos and apartments standing empty in these ghost cities. Now they're starting to tear them down, this is a hard hit. Wasting money on this type of effort when your grid is at 110% is bad. So, we need to go back. Break up the grid, let every state have its own decision-making so it's not exposed. You don't want to be exposed to this grid, and you don't need to share, the hydropower you have in your state that can provide all the hydropower and industry and home electricity that you need. Mm-hmm. You know, you're being robbed of electricity that you could supplementary sell in excess if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, right now, even in the market, you know, look at the best thing to invest in is what was it first called in Montana? Montana yeah. Power, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Pamela asks, how would an EMP, electronic a pulse, magnetic pulse, affect our solar grid? Can we
knock it out?
The grid we have. What's a good alternative? The windmills are not recycled but buried when they die, since they depend on lots of oil to build and keep going. So now you can answer her questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to look, an electronic.
I wanted to get Pamela's full thought in there. You know,
I saw. An EMP comes from a nuclear explosion in the atmosphere. It doesn't have to happen 500 feet or 1,000 or 2,000 feet above ground. It can happen just in the atmosphere, and the radiation stays above, out in space, but. Mm-hmm. This pulse goes out, and what it does is it shorts everything that's not shielded with, basically copper. Yeah. But the problem is that your grid is built. We saw this in the blackout from Quebec, 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
Yeah. It was.
And they've done nothing to do it. The result would be the burnout of all the transformers, the ones on the poles that give you your, basic power. Broken down, and the large transformers that break it down from the power line. I mean, you have a chain of events that literally would take 20 years, and it would put North America, both our countries, back 400 years.
Yeah.
We would fall back to the 16th, 17th century. Like,
yeah, we'd be in the Stone Age almost.
Yes. Yeah, we would. And they're not building or storing enough. They're saying they are, but we know how government works.
That's not going to happen. Yeah,
and we're talking about several hundred thousand for North America. But just to replace them, the physical ability, it would take 10 to 15 years. So it would be worse than a nuclear winter because it would be instant. You'd have no communication, no access to banking, think about banking alone, and it would short out cars. I mean, every car, every truck, especially electric. But I mean, did you see what the stories came out of Florida about electric cars and the horrific danger of electric cars in that situation where seawater came in and, cars, yes, they're a danger and they create pollutants because their combustive engines have gas and oil, but so does a car battery. But worse, when it mixes with the lithium battery, it creates a fire because of it, and literally can take them 6 to 8 hours to put out one car.
Yeah.
Like, because they can't put it out with water, that only adds to it.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Yeah. John says hydrogen is only super dangerous over propane when combined with oxygen. So,
well, if you go look at Star Scientific, Google it, look at their HERO, H-E-R-O, and you'll see the byproduct of it is, amazingly enough, water and of course, hydrogen.
Yeah.
And the remarkable thing is it's renewable, it's reusable. Mm-hmm. I mean, they start with seawater. And they end up with electricity and water,
Well, as I've said many times, Shane, we couldn't have sped up the evolution of the automobile by shooting all the horses.
Yeah.
So we can't have this problem with with solar, with wind. These things are going to come, Shane. They're going to come in their own good time. You know, they're going to be here. It's just a fact of life,
I want to make this comparison because it's important. You and I have said that all along, Thomas, for 15 years. Okay.
Yeah.
We can't run airplanes trains and automobiles with oil. We need it for petrochemicals, for, you know, the 7.5 billion people on the planet, and heading to 10, 20 billion in the next 50, 100 years.
True.
Not likely, because I still think that we'll drop back by several billion before 2075. But having said that, the comparison I want to make is to electricity. Again, you know, don't buy an electric car, waste of money, because there's no question we're going to have artificial intelligence, electric flying vehicles. ELV is the future. And, you know, Morgan Stanley's written report, now other banks are writing them, $1.5 to $2 trillion industry over the next 20 years, 25 years, high incomes for the people in it, less use of global commodities, you know, mostly plastic. Here we go, petrochemicals. Mm-hmm. So what we need oil for is petrochemicals and lubricants. You can't have any industry without lubricants.
Yeah, you gotta have that. Bruce says we've only been electric for 100 years, guys. So it's a want, not a need. Well, I would disagree with that. I think it's a definite need.
Well, to be in the 21st century.
Yeah. If you want to operate in the world, pretty hard to do it without electricity. Yeah.
So. Yeah. You just have to look at the third world. I mean, and again, the reason I want to go back to local use of it isn't just for the protection from the grid and an EMP, but politics. You look at the global situation with drilling wells for water and electricity for people. And, you know, of the 200 countries in the world, you know, 150 are corrupt and they can't get out of their ways because they're stealing so much. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, you have a situation where Europe is falling into the abyss. I mean, literally, they've fallen over. They're going into the abyss. I mean, every country in Europe. We're talking 30 to 40% of people's total income in, you know, 20 of the 28 countries in Europe will be spent this winter to buy gas to heat their homes. 30 to 40%.
Yeah.
This is not good, Thomas.
No, it isn't good. So, all right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here, Shane. A couple of things we need to mention. Shane and I both write on Medium.com. Medium.com. Go over there and check that out. Also, we'd like to encourage you to subscribe and ring the notification bell. Let us know, you know, if you like the show or not. Comment, ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified of a podcast, no matter what time zone you're in. And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, we would appreciate that very much. We'll do great things for you. There's a description below on how to do that. And if you like to make videos like this and make money on YouTube and Facebook and wherever else you put this, your podcast, StreamYard has a free version, and we've got a link to that below in our description. And that's going to wrap it up, Shane.
Except for one thing, a great library now, both on from our radio show for the last 12 years and now on our podcast. Please take advantage of them, because we have covered everything and we haven't been wrong about much. And when we are, we tell you. So, you know, you're looking at two old guys who put something together as friends to try to benefit everyone. And wow, what an opportunity. We're global. So we're trying to help benefit the globe. That's cool, baby.
That's right. Well, the award-winning Tom and Shane, we're on live radio every Saturday. You can listen to us anywhere in the world at KMMSAM.com. Just click listen now. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to leave any information of any kind. All you do is click on it and listen. You can call us. You can text us. All of those things are possible when we're on the radio, and all of our shows are also on KMMSAM.com. So, check it out.
Yeah. We hope one day the friends and everyone that is listening will be kind enough to become a gifter to our great producer, director, and creator of the show, Tom, the Eagle Man, Eagleheart.
Yeah.
Because Eagle Hawk. And thanks, Tom, yeah. Eagle Man, Eagle Heart, Eagle Hawk. He's a remarkable individual. He's my best friend. And, you know, we do this as a public service announcement.
Amen. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate you so much. And we will see you on Thursday with our next podcast.